ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد my dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about building a relationship with the Quran al-Kareem. In that context, we talked about various aspects of that, the adab of the Quran, we talked about the importance of reading the Quran, we talked about the importance of understanding it. We talked also about the effect of the Quran, reading and listening to it, on the body externally as well as internally on the heart. Today I want to share with you a thought of the organization of the Quran. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the truth of it because it is His kalam. The Quran seems to be organized in three different kinds of ayat. One is ayat relating to, broadly speaking, what we know as Al-Ghaib, which are ayat relating to the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ayat relating to the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah, Jannah, Jahannam, Yawmul Jaza, Yawmul Qiyamah, and so on, and all such things which are matters of Al-Ghaib. And Al-Ghaib is not defined, again, issue of translations and so on. Al-Ghaib is generally translated as unseen, but that is not a correct translation of Al-Ghaib. Al-Ghaib is, my translation for Al-Ghaib is the unperceivable. Because something that is unseen can be heard, something that is unseen can become seen later. But unperceivable, which is that it is not perceived and it can never be perceived. For example, if you look at the ayat relating to the development of the embryo and the fetus and so on, human productive cycle, reproductive cycle, at the time these ayat were revealed, they were ghaib. There was no technology which could actually see what was happening inside the womb, or you know how the embryo actually forms. But today it is no longer ghaib. It's, I mean, not just today, for a long time now it is no longer ghaib. It is completely perceivable and so on. So you can't just say unseen and you can't translate ghaib as unseen. Ghaib is not unseen. Ghaib is far more than unseen. Ghaib is something that is not only unseen but unheard and unperceived and unfelt and so forth, and cannot be perceived until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to show what that thing is. So there's one set of ayat in the Quran which are related to Al-Ghaib, which is, as I said, the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ayat al-Kursi and the ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, Surah Al-Ikhlas and various things. And of course, lots and lots of ayat of the Day of Judgment, Jannah, Jahannam, Juz Amma is full of them, so also are many parts of the Quran. The second set of ayat have to do with us, with human beings, and in many cases human beings and jinn, about us, about our life, about our day-to-day work, and these also contain the ayat, which are ayat of ahkam, halal, haram, all the things that we know, the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, which are related to akhlaq, for example, adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ayat of Surah Al-Luqman, which have to do with lessons of, again, human behavior and our rights of other people, ourselves, and so on and so forth, parents, children, tarbiyah, you know, all kinds of things related to the whole of Surah Yusuf, for example. The entire surah is about human behavior. It's all about psychology. It is about resisting temptation and so forth. All of those things which are ayat relating to us, to this alam al-mushahida, to this dunya, to our actions and all of that, right? Now, part of those ayat also are ayat which tell us what will happen if you do certain things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that will happen, right? So lot of them are related, and those are, some of that action is in this dunya, some of this action is also in the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related our own actions. For example, in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Zahra al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas. Allah said, all this fasad you are seeing on the sea and the land is not some special attention by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your own doing. You are creating this fasad. It is the result of your own actions which come from your hands. So second set of ayat have to do with us and our own actions, and these are contain, as I said, ahkam, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hidayat, advice and so on. There's a third set of ayat in the Quran, which I don't like to call them stories, because they're not stories, they're histories. And there's a big difference between a story and a history. A story can be a bunch of lies, you know. But history is documented evidence of something which actually happened. So this is a whole set of ayat which are histories of people before us. What happened to the Bani Israel? What happened to the Qawm Aad and Thamud and Salih, the people of, the Aika, the trees and the forests and so on. And the Egyptians, for example, what happened to Fir'aun and so on and so forth. So you have a whole set of ayat which deal with the past, histories. Now, in those histories, you will find there are histories of Anbiya alayhim as-salam, so you have Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam, and Nuh alayhi salam, and so on. And you also have histories of people who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have Qarun, you have Fir'aun, Shaddad, Haman, so on. Various people who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some are mentioned by name as individuals. Some are mentioned as the people of so-and-so. So an individual is not named among those people, but the general people are done. Now, if you look at this whole structure, and when I was thinking about it, I said, okay, why this structure? Now, if you look at this whole structure and if you relate it today, for example, in the business world or in our modern world, if you have to bring about change in some place, that I am in the area of organization consulting, so I do this for a living and I do this on a daily basis. So if I go to an organization and I want them to change their ways, so this organization is being run in a certain way, I want to introduce a new process, a new concept, a new organization development initiative or something, I have to do three things. One is I have to establish my own credibility. Who are you? Why must I listen to you? So I have to establish my own credibility to say, this is who I am. You listen to me because of this, this, this. These are my antecedents. This is what I have published. This is what I have done. This is who I am. This is my knowledge. So on, so on, so on. Right? So you have to establish your own credibility before anyone will even give you the time of day. So number one challenge. Number two challenge is, all right, so now I accept that you are this person who, now I understand who you are and so on. So what must I do? So what's your suggestion? I mean, what do you want me to do? How should I change? What should I do? When that is established, third question is, okay, so you are this person. You are telling me to do this. How do I know this works? What is the proof of concept? Where did you try this before? Has it been done somewhere else? Now, if I can do these three things, and this is the whole structure of consulting. Establish your own credibility. Show what you want them to do. And show proof of concept. This is where this has been done before. Now, if you can't do these three things, you may have a very good idea, but people will either not accept it or they will be very reluctant to accept it because, first of all, I don't know who you are. I mean, I'm looking at your face, but who are you? And second thing is, okay, yeah, I know who you are, the concept, but completely new. And when I ask you, you can't give me any proof, no history, where did it happen before and so on. So how do I know it works? Right? I mean, there's a different way of selling that, so I'm not going into the sales part of it, but I'm just saying that this is a structure of any behavioral change, any organizational change, any change in society that you want to bring. Now, bring this back to the Quran and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes His own majesty and greatness. Now, frankly speaking, if you have half a brain, that should not be necessary. But we don't have half a brain. So therefore, this is necessary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes His own magnificence and glory, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, who is Allah? Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, and so on. Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa alimul ghaibi wa shahada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing who I am. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do this. Do this with yourself and this is what will happen. Do this with yourself and this is what will happen. And third thing is, where did it happen before? What is the proof of concept? How do I know this works? Because this is what happened. This was the Ambiya. They came. Previous Ambiya came to their nations. This is what they told their nations. Some listened to them. Some did not listen to them. Those that listened to them, what happened to them? Those that did not listen to them, what happened to them? Now you have a Nabi who has come to you, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He is telling you the same things. He has not brought a new religion out of somewhere. No, it is the same Islam, La ilaha illallah. So, do what he tells you to do. And inshallah, this is the, what is the result? You know the result. This is what happened to other people. This is what happened. This is what will happen to you. You will also succeed. I was thinking of the structure also last night when we were reading Surah Al-Fatiha, and I said, in the Surah Al-Fatiha, just seven ayat, this entire structure is there. It begins with the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. The glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what? Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Relating to us. Sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal-ad-dallin. Proof of concept. This is what happened to other people. The same structure is reflected in the surah which is called the essence of the Quran. In just seven ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the entire structure of the whole kitab in just these seven ayat. Now, point is, if you look at it, you're talking about, take this now and put it onto the seerah. In 23 years, when the Quran was revealed, it came from time to time. It didn't come down as one book. But in 23 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you take now the seerah from the perspective of history of Islam, and we know Islam is the original religion, this is what Adam alayhi salam came with, but for the sake of our argument, if we take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we say that when Rasulullah ﷺ announced Islam, this was the birth, this was the beginning. So what happened if you take the entire seerah in Makkah and then you take it to Medina? So from the first action of announcing Islam, Nabi ﷺ stands on Safa and says, Wa Subaha. He calls the people and he tells them, La ilaha illallah. Worship no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise you will face a serious punishment. If you take that first instance and you take the last instance, so to speak, which was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved aside the curtain of his house on the day that he passed away and he saw his ummah in Salatul Fajr. And the Sahaba say he smiled in such a way, it was like the full moon. We are looking at the full moon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you take from the first day when all the people, illa mashallah, rejected him and his message, to that last point 23 years later, when they all accepted and they were in salah. If you take that format and you say that, you see the same thing with the Quran, this is what you are seeing in the Quran. We are seeing where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being introduced to the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his hukum and the message of the Nabi. And of course, the Quran is the kalam of the one who has no end. Hayyul ladhi la yamut. So therefore, the kalam does not end. The kalam continues. The message continues. We continue because we also don't end. We go from one way of life to another way of life. Intiqal. From this alam to that alam. From alam al-shahada to alam al-barzakh. And from there to the alam of the day of judgment, and then inshallah al-musta'an, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghairi hisab, and then that again has no ending to that. So there is no ending to that, which is why also the instruction to ask is ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guidance to the path. The journey itself is the object. To walk on the right path is the object. The path will take you to the right ending. Even though we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, but the guidance that we are asked to make dua for is for the correct path. Because this life is about walking. This life is about continuing a journey. And if we continue that journey on the correct path, in the correct way, inshallah, this path leads to the right place, which is Jannatul Firdaus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to understand His kalam and to read it with awareness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring this kalam into our lives, in every aspect of our lives, so that we live our entire lives, whatever we have left, on the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and on the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.